We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. The Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Have a question or comment? Call or text us at 304-314-4161 or email us at wvumsn@gmail.com. Now let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
It's a Backyard Brawl edition of the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Hey, everyone, what's going on? Hope you and yours are well. Yeah, we've got a busy week here that we're wrapping up on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Bunch of coaches shows here on MSN Radio. We've got a big win in tow. West Virginia able to come on in the second half against Oakland on Tuesday evening. And that was a nice primer to get them ready for the Friday night primetime showdown at the WVU Coliseum. I would think at this point here, because very, very close to being sold out, like a few handfuls of tickets are remaining at this juncture. It's going to be an electric atmosphere at the Coliseum post-COVID. Backyard brawl, I mean the whole nine yards. And that's what we're going to discuss here primarily today. Take a week off from football. Of course, we're going to have plenty of coverage beginning bright and early Saturday morning, the Gomard Mountaineer Tailgate Show in advance of WVU at Kansas State against the 6-3 Wildcats on the air at 8:30 Saturday morning. So the whole crew will be not only stationed in Morgantown, but also ready to go at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. Coming up on this edition of the pod, Andrew Filippone, good buddy of mine. I've worked with him for over a decade. Many of you know I do a lot of work up in Pittsburgh, where I'm originally from, at Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, going back to my Pirates days. Well, Andrew, a rising star in the business, from working essentially overnights, he's now got the air chair at Drive Time 2 until 6, hosting Monday through Friday on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Also has scored a national show on CBS Sports Radio Saturdays as well, so you can check him out. We're going to chat with Andrew Filippone, who made, by the way, the great life decision of marrying a West Virginia girl. His lovely wife, Amanda, is a WVU grad, 07, if I'm not mistaken. So she was right there during the heyday attending West Virginia. So Yeah, Pony's got some skin in the game here as it pertains to the Mountaineers, and he's also got his finger on the pulse of what Pitt fans are thinking and how ticked off they are, actually. It's not great right now for Jeff Capel's program. They've had some off-the-field issues over the last couple of weeks. One of their key players with a run-in in the law, and with the law, I should say, a loss, an inexcusable loss to the Citadel. So you should suspect that they'll be coming out breathing fire, and we're going to get their best punch because, you know, what happened on Tuesday to Pitt and what West Virginia, I think, has the potential to do to them, they are looking at, you know, I think a 1-2 kind of howitzer to start their season. So West Virginia is going to get the best shot from the Pitt Panthers. But they are a ticked-off bunch, and I was talking to Andrew about the program and Jeff Capel, who is in year number 4, and there's a lot of frustration surrounding that, so that's where we begin.
There's a ton of skepticism. There's, I think, a lot of apathy, which showed up in the amount of fans that were in attendance for the opening game, and it's just such a far cry from what this team was, you know, 10 years ago when Pitt and West Virginia would lock horns in the Big East every year. It's just a night and day change between what the program was back then and what it is now.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk to you about that, Andrew. What's the pulse up here in Pittsburgh? Because I was thinking, you know, a college freshman that's at the WVU Coliseum mm-hmm. on Friday night.
Yep.
Or let's just say a junior who's 20 years old. Mm-hmm. They were 7, 8, 9 years old, maybe even younger, going back to some of these unbelievable Big East tournament clashes at Madison Square Garden. That's a long time when we're talking about Generation Z.
Yeah, and I think what I like about Huggins and Capel, as far as this backyard brawl goes, is that I think both coaches see the value in it, want to keep it. You know, Pitt has kind of thumbed its nose and looked down on Duquesne, local rival, city game. They don't do that anymore. I mean, Capel, I think, came to the conclusion, and you can help me with this, Dan. This might be the same way Huggins looks at playing Marshall.
Yeah.
What do I get out of this?
Yep. You only have one thing to do, and that's lose.
Yeah.
You're in a lose-lose proposition.
Yeah, and I think that's Capel. The other thing that irritated, and I think West Virginia used to do this too, like they'd go play that Marshall game in Charleston. It wouldn't even be a home game.
Right.
And so the game would be at PPG Paints Arena, would not be a home game. And I did not get this from Capel, but I trust the source who told me this was like, Duke would never play Davidson every year at the Charlotte Hornets Arena. They just would. Krzyzewski might do that once every 10 years or something, but he would never do it every single year.
So why do we do that? Why do we take like one or two blue bloods and mm-hmm. then everybody else just tries to be like them?
Well, that's because that's what Capel knows.
Sure.
I mean, and for him...
Well, he could separate that. He's a grown man. He's a smart guy.
Well, I don't know, Dan. I mean, the sense I get is that when you have worked for Mike Krzyzewski and you have the Duke brand, Duke logo, Duke infrastructure, Duke everything...
You've taken a sip from that chalice.
Well, he took more than a sip. I mean, he was chugging it, basically. Yeah. And he was at Oklahoma, where they've got ample resources. The football team makes so much money. Is that... I think he walked into Pitt feeling like, hey, this is a pro sports town, but huge sports fandom, passionate sports fans, you know, talked about some of the memories that you referenced where the Pete was packed and look, they don't have an NBA team here. So we can be that. There's going to be a built-in buy-in from people in Pittsburgh. And, you know, that's not how it works here. If you don't win, There's too many other interests or too many other things to do where people just forget about you, and that's exactly what's happening at Pitt. The problem is Pitt, the athletic department, you know, they're holding the bag with him.
Yeah.
Because 2027, that's just, even if this season, which has gotten off to such a rotten start, continues in that direction, I don't know. I don't see a change or anything substantial happening.
Then tell me, why wouldn't he be the guy at Pitt if he's not? Or if he's, you know, you're in year 4,
yep.
right? I understand that, you know, fans are frustrated, mm-hmm. Falling below expectations, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I was always advised of, right? Jack Zirenzik, old broadcast partner, you know, you always want to trade somebody, you always want to make this change, you always want to fire somebody. You ask yourself, well, what's the alternative?
Mm-hmm.
What is the alternative? What could be a better option? Is Pitt getting anyone better than Jeff Capel, who has better credentials than this guy?
I think fans, I know, again, they're harder to find right now because Pitt basketball has hit such hard times, but the ones who still do care look at names like Sean Miller and Archie Miller. Both of those guys are out of work. They're Pittsburghers.
And for reasons that are probably not ones that you want to onboard at this point,
well,
right?
Especially with Sean, but you know how it works in college sports. There's just some people are very cynical and think that that's a widespread, it's everywhere, ubiquitous thing. So they're willing to look past that as long as the guy wins. Frankly, both of those guys have had, as a head coach, have much better track records if you just look at the win-loss resume than Jeff Capel. So you know them. They're local. They've got a lot of friends here. You know, that people look at them as fallback options. You know, the two coaches that have recently won at Pitt, Ben Howland came from Northern Arizona. He had won at a low major, don't even want to say mid-major program, had taken him to an NCAA tournament, had no connection whatsoever to Pitt. And I think he did a very good job of identifying, all right, here's where we are in the college basketball ecosystem. These are the types of players I can get to Pitt, and this is the way I need to coach them. And I give Huggins ample credit at West Virginia for doing that. He's not thinking he's going to get two or three McDonald's All-Americans a year. Honestly, when he has gotten those guys, they usually haven't panned out. You know, like he, whether it was Press Virginia or whatever style he's had to adapt and use to win at West Virginia, he's done that. My read on Jeff Capel so far is, he came in here thinking, because I know how to recruit the five-star player, they'll come to me. Mm. They'll pick the coach and not the school. They'll want to play for Jeff Capel. And I think he's realizing that guys picked him in the recruiting process before because they wanted to play at Duke, not because they wanted to play on the same team as Jeff Capel.
So Pitt's moving from the Big East. Pitt losing Madison Square Garden. Barry Rorson, very good recruiter, right? Really was the conduit, right, from New York to Pittsburgh for all of those good teams that West Virginia would tangle with in the early to mid-2000s.
Yep.
Once that decision was made to become an ACC school and to sever that tie, was that the death knell for this program, and is a return to prominence as they once had, is that just an impossibility at this point?
I don't think it's in the cards. I don't. I think there are casualties of major conference realignment every time it happens. You know, whether somebody gets left behind in a league and they're stuck there and they're no longer as relevant because of that, they lose regional rivalries. They're not playing in big games. It kills recruiting, all that stuff. They make less money. I mean, that happens all the time. I think as far as basketball goes, we've seen it happen twice. And I thought when it, you know, I'm not going to pat myself on the back too hard, but I told people, look what happened to Boston College the first wave when they went from the Big East to the ACC. It killed them. Yeah. Like they were, you're talking about, you know, going back 15 years ago. Go look back 25 years ago. Boston College was a relevant program. They might not have been in the NCAA tournament every year, but they were, for the most part, consistently good in the Big East. They went to the ACC, and now they're just a doormat. I mean, they draw flies to games. They've gone through coaches. They can't fix it. And I was afraid, similar situation, team in a pro sports town, very easy to get lost in the wash, that it could happen to Pitt basketball. And so far it has. And I do think the recruiting footprint, I think who you play, I think it's been a difficult, even for fans, I think the transition, playing different teams, it just doesn't still feel right. I mean, it does, I guess, when Duke or North Carolina come to town and you get to see those teams up close and personal. But short of that, it just still does not fit or feel right for a lot of Pitt fans.
They're going to play tomorrow, Friday night. Mm-hmm. The athletic directors have really good relationships, Shane Lyons and Heather Like. And obviously, this is going to spill over here onto the football field coming up this fall at long last. We'll talk about that here in just a moment.
Yep.
I know what the brawl means to West Virginia fans. Can you help kind of surmise what it means to Pitt fans in this day, the clientele? I mean,
yeah.
Is this important on Friday, or is it just, you know, Ricky Bobby, we don't know what to do with our hands now that these two teams are playing?
Yeah, I think even if Pitt were good, and let's make one thing clear, they're not. They're going to struggle to win, I think, even one or two ACC conference games. They're going to lose, I think, 20 games this year and be one of the worst Power 5 basketball programs in America this year. I think even if they were an up-and-coming team, I think the timing of the game doesn't work. I think the fact that it's not a January and February, you're building into the NCAA tournament, their late season litmus test games where
that's probably on the coaches. That's on the coaches. They don't want this game in the midst of conference.
Yeah, well,
play, right?
Yeah,
how could you?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, there are some exceptions that have happened, you know, where like those, the Big 12 SEC thing is later in the year. They do take a weekend.
Right, made for TV.
Yeah. Well, and that's how you get those things accomplished. Sure. Now, you know, Pitt isn't holding up its end of the bargain. I don't know why one of the networks would want this game in January or February right now. But I think when it's this early, I think it's hard to look at that game and try to attach huge meaning to it. So I think for Pitt, that's what really hurts it. If this were a Friday night in early February, I think it would be much different, provided Pitt wasn't a laughingstock team. So I am happy that they're doing it, but I do see how its cachet or its prominence or whatever you want to put
gets into lost it. The buzz, shuffle, you think?
The buzz is not there, yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. I mean, it'll be sold out of the Coliseum, I think.
It wouldn't have, I could promise you it would not have been sold out at the P unless West Virginia fans decided to invade, which they do like to do from time to time.
How do you look at the West Virginia basketball program right now from where you sit? National radio host doing 2 to 6 every day here in Pittsburgh. What's the lens?
Well, I think they're going to, I like teams like this for Huggins where the expectations are a little bit lower. They're kind of flying under the radar. I think he tends to get the most out of, I think he probably would even tell you in an honest moment, he likes teams like that. You know, where it's not, there's no glitz and glamour. No one's talking them up and kissing their ass. I think he actually relishes. You're nodding yes. You think I'm onto something there. You think I might be
right. Yeah, because he's sort of huffing and puffing right now, and he's lamenting every little thing about the team, you know.
Yeah. I think he likes that. They're not getting too full of themselves. They're not reading their own press clippings because there's not a lot out there. I think he, as a coach, almost probably prefers that to the spotlight.
Yeah, I think he likes to over-deliver.
However, I would say I wonder when we look back at his tenure at West Virginia and the great things he accomplished, the Final Four berth, Big 12 tournament runs, etc. Are we going to look back on last year's team and think, man, like,
is this your way as a Syracuse guy
No, it's not. It's just that
this Jim Boeheim disciple that sits across from
me. They had some things that, I mean, I can't explain to you.
Yeah, they had some big men.
I can't explain to you. To me, by the tournament, you know, Culver, I thought, was maybe not a liability, but he just was not the player that he was, you know, 2 months prior. And I look back on that and I just think, look, what happened there? You know, you had a guy that could control the glass and was a legitimate low post type player that is more and more uncommon in college basketball. And like, I don't know if it was a confidence thing from him or what, but he just seemed to kind of lose his way. You know, teams peak at different times in seasons. That's something that coaches everywhere, like, they get worried about. You know, teams playing great in January 15th. Are they going to be playing that way March 15th? You know, there have been, you know, West Virginia teams that have kind of limped into the tournament and then they've won 2 or 3 games. So it's tough to tell, but I think with that team in particular, there was some meat that got left on the bone. Mm. I really do. And I think this year, for me at least, if they win one tournament game, I would consider it to be a successful season.
Interesting. You see this as an NCAA tournament team? Obviously, yes, by saying that, but
yeah,
they're a bubble team
as
we sit here today.
I think they'll get in. I do. I think the rising tide of the Big 12 will help. I think that it's still looked at, I think, as the best league in college basketball. So that means, you know, you go 500 in conference play. West Virginia plays enough good games in November and December where they do that, they should get in. You know, the thing about the Big 12 still with both football and basketball, and I know Baylor won the national championship last year, but, you know, it just, you hold yourself to the Oklahoma standard in college football and the Kansas standard in basketball. You measure yourself up against both of those teams. And it's interesting, the football team hasn't been good, but they gave Oklahoma on the road everything they could handle and probably should have won that game. And Huggins' history against Kansas is, you know, almost always competitive games. They go to Fog Allen and they usually are up big and somehow lose by like 1 point, but they're super good games.
Yeah, and then come home in Morgantown and you get them there.
Yeah,
like it's,
right.
Yeah, it's been a coin flip. When this thing turns to fall here and we're playing football, what does this game mean? We talked about a basketball game in November kind of being just
blah.
Football's a different story,
it
right?
Is
there any anticipation for that as we sit here
there
in November?
Be. Yeah, I think, again, when you play the game counts. You play that game Labor Day weekend. You've got college football has that stage to itself. There's no Steelers yet. You start the season with a huge rivalry game, especially one where, you know, there's been some time off. And so the anticipation has been building for that game. I think it's going to be huge. Even though Pitt, by that point, won't have Kenny Pickett anymore, who's a Heisman Trophy dark horse, and they'll be kind of a more of a team that's in a rebuilding state of mind. I really believe that it's a game that needs to get played every year. I'm sorry. And I think, you know, if in the ACC there's cooperation on the conference scheduler's part to make sure that Clemson can play South Carolina the last weekend of the year and Georgia Tech can play Georgia the last weekend of the year, and we can keep those intrastate rivalries going, I would like to see a way where West Virginia, Pitt, with the help of the Big 12 and the ACC, found a way to play that game at the end of every season. I don't, you know, the Pitt fans need to realize that the Penn State thing, the ship has probably sailed on that. It's not going to happen annually. Who cares, right? You've got a rival. Dan, I was at the Iowa State game, and you talked about basketball fans not having seen Pitt and West Virginia play in a while. You still have people saying, eat you know what, Pitt, on their way out the stadium, and they haven't played in almost 10 years. It's still, for the fans there, a super big deal. There's 19-year-olds that are screaming that because that's kind of what you're taught and brought up to do, which is great. I love that. They flash a Pitt score in the stadium and they lose. People go bonkers. I love that. And so you have, I think, a huge amount of interest from both sides in this game. And maybe Pitt tries to look down on West Virginia a little bit, but I think ultimately they see each other as equals. I think they both want the same thing. So I don't know why it's so hard for them to play the game every single season. No exceptions.
What is it like being married to a West Virginia girl? A WVU grad.
You think she's wearing off on me?
I mean, she wants
the game too. I mean, Dan, why would you, if you're Pitt, right? What do you get out of, they went to Tennessee and won. Congratulations. They very rarely go to the SEC and win a game, but they've got Tennessee coming here next year. Okay, what do they really get out of that game?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, every time I see Pitt or West Virginia schedule like a home and home or four games with another Power 5 team, I just think, what makes the decision makers at these universities pick this game over playing West Virginia every year?
Yeah.
I think that at least with the two administrators you have sitting in their chairs right now, there's going to be a conscious effort to try to figure out every way to do it, as opposed to let the reasons why you can't do it kind of creep into the conversation. I think that there's a commitment. So,
if you're the AD at Georgia Tech, you're just like, all right, we've got Georgia every year at the end of our season. We don't need to like sit down and hammer this out and, you know, beg, bargain, and steal or whatever. Like, we just know that that's what we're doing. And I just wish that these two schools had that same agreement in place. That's all.
So what is it like to be married to a West Virginia girl?
A lot of John Denver.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That happens.
It's in your house.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. For a Syracuse guy.
A lot of Mountaineer memorabilia. Yeah, you know what? I actually don't, now that they're not in the same conference, I think I'm allowed to have two kind of split fandoms here. It's not the type of, if I went to Pitt or if I was a Kansas basketball fan or something like that, I think it would be dicey.
That's fair.
So
fair.
We found a way to make it work. They went their separate ways right when we started to talk to each other. So it's serendipitous. If they were both still in the Big East, I think I'm probably still single and miserable right now.
Yeah, I mean, well. Smart man. Andrew Filippone, how can we find you? And you're on the air on a lot of our MSN yep. radio stations as CBS
Great
Sports
network.
Radio.
I honestly want to give you guys a ton of credit, kiss your butt a little bit, because I think what you guys do both pregame, postgame, I listen to a lot of the college networks, and I think you guys are top-notch.
Well, thank you.
And the play-by-play voice has a very, very, very impressive background in terms of where he got his start and so on and so forth. So
yeah, let that be said. Yeah.
So 2-6 on the Fan in Pittsburgh, Odyssey app, download it, free to listen, talk Pittsburgh sports. Sometimes we'll sprinkle in some West Virginia from time to time.
Yeah, I should do more of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Have Huggins on, right? He'll come in and shoot the breeze. Make your way down to a
person.
Bob Huggins show. At Kegler's?
I was going to say.
You've been to Kegler's? You're a Kegler's guy.
I like the I think they call them pucks. They're like not sliders. They're kind of a little bit bigger. They're yeah. kind of a hybrid between a full-size burger and a small one.
Have you had a Wolfman burger?
You know, I saw him there.
Yeah,
and I was intimidated. He was sweating so much.
Yeah.
I felt like he'd come out of a sauna and someone needed to wrap him mummy style and like, three or four towels, so yeah. I didn't want to...
What was the viscosity level of that sweat? Was it beaded up like gelatin on the forehead?
Was it? He was red like a tomato
well,
when I saw him.
Okay.
And it was not a warm day either. There was like 50 degrees, so I'm not really sure why he was sweating so profusely.
He carries a handheld fan.
But I got to tell you something.
And he uses this fan. It's 55 degrees in the room we're in, and he's fanning himself.
Right, and here's the other reason why I did not go up to him. Because... he's like Justin Bieber in this place.
Oh.
Like, you have people flocking to him like he's royalty.
He's America's guest.
He's for sure at Kegler's. Absolutely. So, 2-6 on the Fan, Odyssey app, on Twitter at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I, Dan. Thank you for giving me this platform.
It's a massive, massive platform, and it is the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Give us a like, a share, leave a comment. Thanks to Andrew Filippone for joining us right here on the MSN Insider. And we'll be with you 7:30 pregame, blast off 8:30 for the Backyard Brawl, Pitt and West Virginia, right here on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network. Like the podcast? Give us 5 stars or leave a review. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at WVUMSN or find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUSports.com. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of MSN, the Mountaineer Sports Network.